Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21. It's ERP built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
Have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go out in the woods, find a rabbit, take his foot,
and rub it.
Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get any blood on you.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
I don't have anything I would want to express there one way or the other. I know that from the standpoint of contribution, I know that we all are accountable to even a fleeting or a minor part of our actions. We all are accountable to those.
Oh, baby, week number 6 of the NFL season is here. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, breaking down all your NFL action right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. A lot to get into today. You heard about Washington retiring Taylor's uniform. You heard about the latest developments out in Las Vegas with John Gruden. But a big game tonight, Tampa Bay taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are a 6.5-point dog. Tom Brady's banged up. Gronkowski's banged up. Will not play. We'll see how it plays out, Scott, because this game really can make Philadelphia's season if somehow, some way they could pull off the upset tonight.
Hey, what's going on there, Joe? Yeah, a couple things here with this game. Eagles 7-0, 6-1 against the spread on Thursday night. It's pretty good, obviously. Bucks 2-6 straight up, 1-7 against the spread, but obviously that's without Tom Brady. But here's why I like Tampa Bay. You know, he was asked Tom Brady recently because of the Eli Manning and Peyton Manning situation with them doing the Monday Night Football on the four-letter network. So somehow or another, you know, I think during the New England game, they asked him, you know, who's your favorite team to beat? And he said the New York Giants. So why do I bring that up now? Well, he said the New York Giants because he lost to Eli Manning twice in the Super Bowl. So, well, who else did he lose in the Super Bowl to? The Philadelphia Eagles. So it's probably pecking order. Giants 1, Eagles 2. You give me a motivated Tom Brady, I'll take the Buccaneers every day of the week.
Well, we'll see. Now, that was with Doug Peterson. That was with Nick Foles, who's now with the Chicago Bears. But when you bring up this matchup, any concern about the thumb injury? We heard it, you know, could affect, you know, some in the ways of maybe he grips the football under center in terms of maybe, you know, handoffs and certain types of situations. Any concern that this thumb injury could be, you know, a concern for the vertical passing attack tonight?
Nah, he won a Super Bowl with a similar injury, right? He tears his hand up in practice before a Super Bowl, and he ends up throwing for like 5,000 yards and 20 zillion touchdowns. So, I mean, I know he is human, Joe. I mean, everyone has injuries, but nah. The fact that we know about it tells me that it's okay. If it was serious, we wouldn't have found out about it. They would have kept it under the cuff. No one would know. Hey, quiet, quiet. Don't mention anything. Kind of like the hand injury, you know, before the Super Bowl until eventually it did get out. But it would be a little bit of a concern, but nothing. These guys will all play. They'll bandage it up. Just put some Novocaine in and tape it up.
Well, Scotty, here's the thing. If you're going to back Philadelphia tonight, now, I was shocked. They trailed 15-3 last week on the road in Carolina. Somehow, some way, Jalen Hurts made enough plays. They turned it around, made halftime adjustments. They pulled that ball game out 21-18. They're going to need at least a sniff of the running game tonight. That has been non-existent over the last few weeks in terms of playing from behind. Miles Sanders has not gotten going like a lot of people would have thought. I mean, in order for Philadelphia to win this ball game or at least be competitive, they need to keep that Tampa Bay defense defense guessing. And that's why I think maybe Miles Sanders has a bigger part in this offense tonight, especially playing at home.
Yeah, and then obviously you want to keep the ball away from Brady, because I know Gronk's not playing, but they didn't miss Gronk last week when they put 40-plus on the board against the Dolphins, right? So the fact that he's the leading rusher this year, Joe, that tells you a little something. I know he scrambles around and everything, but I don't think that's actually the design. I think they would rather have Sanders be the guy, but Sanders has 214 yards in five games. I mean, that's 40 yards, basically 42 yards a game, whereas Hurts has the 256. So that, I think, would be their game plan. They did pull one out of the hat because they got completely dominated. Carolina just, they kept Philadelphia in the game the whole way. You know, we kept on, you know, 1-2-score game, but they were settling for field goals. You know, when in reality, they should have been getting touchdowns and leading that thing like 28-3. They kept Philadelphia in, and to their credit, they ended up scoring a couple of touchdowns there and winning the game. So, but I don't think that's going to happen against Brady and the Bucs. You can't run the ball against Tampa Bay. That means you're going to have to throw the ball with Jalen Hurts, and he's been decent this year. I'll give him credit for that, but I got to see it happen against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I need to see it, too. I tell you, the biggest surprise is that as quickly as Devontae Smith has learned this offense, he leads the team in terms of 314 receiving yards, 25 receptions. If there's a big ball being thrown down the field by Jalen Hurts, it seems that Devontae Smith is there. You would have thought it would have been Jalen Reagor. He really hasn't taken the next step in terms of his progression. But Devontae Smith, I'll tell you what, he could be an explosive playmaker, and we never seen it before where a Heisman Trophy winner has led the league or led the whole NFL in terms of receiving. As this season progresses, you never know. Devontae Smith can be a sleeping giant.
Yeah, you don't get too much, talk about rookie of the year with him, right? It's Ja'Marr Chase, and deservedly so with the Bengals, but this guy's been their number one guy. You said it, 25 receptions. That's almost twice as much as the nearest guy for Philadelphia. I mean, he's doing for the Eagles what the Jalen Waddle is not doing for our beloved Miami Dolphins.
Don't even go there. When Scott and I come back, we'll be breaking down Tua, the Dolphins and Jags, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down the start of NFL week number 6. I got my partner in crime from College Football Today, Scott Wetzel, in the hot seat. We're going to be talking about our Miami Dolphins. Tua back at practice this past Tuesday. He takes over for Jacoby Brissett. He most likely will get the start on the road in Jacksonville. Miami right now a 3-point favorite, -115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total set at 47, -110 either way. Scott, you mentioned it in the break. Miami went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady for basically a quarter and a half. In the end, they didn't have the horses to compete with Tampa Bay, get blown out on the road. It's back-to-back road games within the state of Florida. If they lose this game to Jacksonville and Urban Meyer, they should just wrap up the season, call it a loss, turn our sights to 2022 here.
Yeah, I got a Mark Lawrence special for you here. I like this. You know, it took 13 minutes to get into the program, but we had a Mark Lawrence special.
What do you got?
All right, this game's in London, England, right? This is really right. Every once in a while I come across the stats like, wow. You know, we knew the premise was we knew that the NFL sends dog teams over there. But this is, according to Mark, this is the 30th game that the NFL's had over in London, England. Mm-hmm. None, Joe, have had a game where both teams had winning records. Now, obviously, both teams, you know, this time don't have any winning records, so it's not even one, let alone two. So, but how about that? You talk about throwing dog stuff out there. I mean, 30 games, and there wasn't one, according to Mark anyway, and I don't doubt it, not one game over in London, England's had a game involving two winning teams. Wow. Fourth trip for the Dolphins, eighth for the Jags. Jags at 3-4. Miami did beat them last year 31-13, but this is kind of like rock bottom, right? I mean, for Miami, you lose to Jacksonville, which has lost 21 straight. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. You beat them pretty easily last year. Jags 1-7 and 1 against the spread in their last 9. 0-5, third time in team history. You know, for Miami, Tua, I'm guessing, is going to come back. But, boy, you lose to Jacksonville. Then they got a clean house. They just have to.
They do. I'll tell you this. You know, the fact that the Jets barely went over last week against Atlanta, was sitting on that total 45.5. Thank God he kicks the field goal with 17 seconds left. I was worried that, you know, on the second down play, he takes a sack of 14 yards. It's like you, the only way you can win is if you kick the field goal. I think this is a dead under in this game. I have no confidence in Miami. Even in England, knowing that they need the game, I just have no confidence in this offense right now. There is no identity. They can't stretch defenses vertically. With Tua or Jacoby Brissett, it doesn't matter. You mentioned Jalen Waddle. He's been basically non-existent. Had about a couple of hundred receiving yards entering that ballgame last week. Not utilized correctly. They're a one-dimensional offense. I mean, there is no running game. So the only question is, are they going to be – I always have concerns about these London games in the sense of you feel like Jacksonville is just playing with house money, right? They could go all out. Nobody's expecting them to win. This is more of a pressure situation for Brian Flores and Miami because of where they stand at 1-4. If they're going to get back into this thing, this is a must-win here.
Yeah, I don't really know why, Joe, they're favorites, to tell you the truth, on a neutral field. I mean, when you really think about it, right? Times you get a toss-up type of game and you break it down. All right, who's got the better quarterback? Personally, I'd rather, and I'm not the biggest Trevor Lawrence fan, but I'd much rather have Trevor Lawrence than Tua Tagovailoa. All right, who's got the better running back? Well, the Dolphins don't have any, basically. I'll definitely take James Robinson. He ran for 1,000 yards last year. Who's got the better wide receivers? You know, the Dolphins have underachieved wide receiver. Maybe Waddle turns out to be great, but so far, you know, nothing spectacular. I'll take the contingent over in Jacksonville. So Jacksonville's got the better quarterback, the better running back, and to me, the better wide receivers. And yet somehow or another, they're an underdog. They got a chance to win this one. You know, they've been in these games until the fourth quarter, and then things have imploded. Like I said, the Dolphins, you know, they're facing all kinds of adversity as well, and all the rumors and whether they're going to get into the Deshaun Watson situation. I'm sure that the GM has got to feel a little heat, you know, being 1-4. I got a feeling Jacksonville wins. I think they get their first win.
You might be right, and I've been on Jacksonville up until this point, and I've been getting smoked. Obviously, they stepped up against Cincinnati on the Thursday night game. That was their claim to fame, to have Joe Burrow on the ropes in that ballgame. They lost that matchup by 3, but you could be right. This is a perfect opportunity for Jacksonville to step up, and I'll say this. The fact that the Jets didn't cover last week in London against Atlanta, which was basically the same spread, you might be right and lean towards Jacksonville in this matchup. To your point about Myles Gaskin, 34 carries, 167 yards. Are you kidding me? In terms of the NFL today, 167 yards is the leading rusher. We're in week number 6 of the NFL season. The offensive line is completely terrible, one-dimensional, and no matter who's quarterback back there, if you can't convert on third downs and sustain drives, you're not going to win ballgames. So we'll see how that matchup plays out. It will be interesting. We're both Dolphin fans. If they lose this, I don't know. I put a bag over my head for the rest of the season in terms of this ballgame. A game I feel strongly about is this matchup in Indianapolis. Houston on the road now. They lost that matchup last week, but did cover against New England as an 7.5 point favorite. Opened at 8.5. They bet it down at the end of the week. Indianapolis, 10-point favorite, -110 either way. 43.5 the total, -110 either way. If Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, and that offense don't bounce back up off the mat after that Monday night loss, I don't want to hear it. They should win this ball game convincingly. I love Indy in this matchup Sunday.
Yeah, you make the case that, you know, maybe their season's on the line, right? You go to 1-5, you're cooked. You know, you're obviously not going to win the division, and you'd be behind a lot of teams for the wild card. It's, you know, we got to find out what kind of character Indianapolis has. You know, you blow a 18-point lead in the fourth quarter, you know, on national TV, no less. You know, do you just lay down and die, or do you come out fighting? It's been my theory that most people think, Joe, they're going to come come out and lay down. Whereas if you're an athlete and you have any kind of competitive spirit, you come out flying the next time out. You're so ticked off that you pissed away that game. The only thing is, I watched a lot of that New England game, and I got to tell you, Davis Mills, because I had the Patriots in one of my survivor pools, and I'm like getting more and more frustrated. I mean, this guy's looking like freaking Joe Montana. I mean, it's just like, time after time after time down the field, and it's like, what are you doing? And the only thing I will tell you is, you know, the similarity between last week and this week is two pretty good defenses, but
right.
Last week it was in a dome. This week it was in a dome. 2 weeks ago it was in Buffalo in pouring rain. So, most people, I think that's why people thought that he was going to be awful, awful, awful. He actually did okay for a couple of quarters there against the Browns when he was thrown into mop-up duty. But then his first assignment was in a driving rainstorm up in Buffalo. Good luck, right? And then last week he was beyond decent. He was very good. So you got to get that Davis Mills. If so, then Houston can hang with Indianapolis. But ultimately, I think the Colts pull away and win.
I like the over here, too. I think if you're Frank Reich, you're this offense, you say, we have a wounded dog on the road. We're going to have to score and score fast and put the pressure on Davis Mills to match our offense. Carson Wentz coming off a 400-yard performance. That should help his confidence. And I agree with you. I think the fact that when you look at that Houston game against New England, there were four offensive line starters that were banged up for the Patriots. It did not go in that ball game. That made their offense one-dimensional. They couldn't run the football with Damian Harris. But I'll tell you what, Indy loses this game, Carson Wentz, I mean, I don't want to hear it anymore. If you can't beat the Houston Texans, I don't know what else to say. And I know they're playing competitive ball, but this is in your house right now. And if you're Frank Reich, you lobbied for this guy. Now's your opportunity. Okay, he threw for 400 yards. Let's at least get some consistency right now, because that's the one thing that's lacking in terms of this offense is explosive plays. We saw it Monday night. We didn't see it from the start of the year.
Yeah, and this is the part of the schedule, Joe, where if they're going to do something, they got to make hay. Because you got Houston, you play at San Fran, Tennessee, but it's at home, Jets and Jacksonville. You got to come up with at least three wins out of those four.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll be breaking down Justin Fields and the Packers, along with Kansas City and the Washington football team. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of NFL week number six, ripping through the breakdowns right now, left off with Indianapolis and Houston. Going to turn our attention to the battle in Soldier Field. Chicago and Justin Fields take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Chicago's lost four straight, Scott, to the Green Bay Packers. They sit as a 4.5-point underdog right here on FanDuel, -110 either way. Total set at 44.5. Juice slightly to the under at -112. Gutty win by the Bears on the road in Las Vegas. I don't think there's any doubt Justin Fields is the quarterback of the future for Chicago. The only question I have in terms of backing them fully here is Matt Nagy in this spot. Last time they were here and faced Green Bay, they got abused 35-16, but I'm more than 50% in on Chicago in this ballgame.
Yeah, I can't go again. There's certain things you just can't do, and to me, one of them is take the Bears against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, Joe, 22-4 against Chicago, including 10-1 his last 11 at Soldier Field. You mentioned 35-16 last year, 55 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. I mean, you talk about only, he might as well be playing Topeka High, for goodness sakes. I mean, that is phenomenal. That includes one playoff loss as well. So I can't do it. You know, I don't like laying nearly a touchdown, 4.5, 5 points, like you were saying, but I can't go against Aaron Rodgers. You know, that loss to the Saints this opening season is a long time ago. They won four in a row, got fortunate and one of them, but I like Green Bay. He has not shown any inclination to let his guard down when it comes to the Chicago Bears. Bears, you talk about a running game. Bears have had four straight games in which they've rushed for more than what they've thrown for. You don't hear that too often in the NFL.
No, you don't. You don't. And it started week one. They pounded the rock against Aaron Donald and the L.A. Rams. Actually think that the offensive line is playing pretty well. My question to you is this. You brought up in the last time that you and I worked an NFL show together was last week. And you're like, Joe, doesn't that line seem fishy? Green Bay 3 over the Bengals? And we're like, yeah, it does a little bit. Sure enough, falls right on the number 25-22. They get the road win. Now it's back-to-back road games for Green Bay. Do you feel more confident laying the 215 on the money line then? Obviously, the dominance over Chicago's there. Minus 215 in terms of the money line, you would hope that it would be in the area of maybe minus 175, 180. This is juiced over two Bills, but, I mean, if he's dominated the Bears that much, throw it in a parlay for that matter and hope that they just come to play in this ballgame.
I'll give you a little trend here. This comes from me, not Mark. Back-to-back, I do my own notes sometimes.
That's scary.
Yes, oppositepicks.com. Back-to-back, teams playing back-to-back road games. In that second game so far this season, 12-6 straight up, 13-5 against the spread. So, and then Green Bay to Chicago is obviously not very far, about a two-hour drive. If they were going to take a bus there, I'm guessing they would fly in, but it's not that far. And I got to tell you, over the course of, following this stuff, it's been generally, 50-50, like everything with the boys in Vegas. Last year against the spread, back-to-back road games, 25-18-1 against the spread. You've had two teams this year with three-game road trips, and they're 2-0 against the spread. So I don't put a whole lot of credence into that stuff.
So you have potentially one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time on the road facing basically a rookie and a coach that is absolutely horrible in Matt Nagy, and this line is under 5. Something smells in terms of that breakdown, because I have no confidence in Matt Nagy. I think he's one of the worst game planners, worst in-game coaches that I've ever seen. Somehow, some way, he has this team at 3-2. It is a divisional game. I mean, if they beat Green Bay here, they're right in the driver's seat. Chicago's there with Green Bay. I mean, look at the other two teams in the division, how bad they're playing. So I would lean to Chicago here. I'm not all in, like I said, because of Matt Nagy, but I would tend to take the points in this ballgame. Go contrarian to the trend. I know it's Aaron Rodgers, but something tells me Chicago's going to step up. I don't love their defense, I'll tell you that, but I still think Green Bay is one-dimensional. Rodgers to Adams, that needs to change. You need to get some of those other playmakers involved, especially if they're going to make a title run this year.
Yeah. It's kind of a carbon copy of the Thursday night game with Tampa Bay and Philadelphia, right? I mean, Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, similar. Jalen Hurts, second-year guy, but obviously a young guy. And the situation here with Fields with Chicago. Chicago and Hurts, both the home teams. And you're right, the Tampa Bay line is 7. This one is only 5. I wonder why, and I got to believe there'd be more Green Bay fans in Chicago since it's, like I said, only about a two-hour drive than there will be Tampa Bay fans. Interesting that you have that disparity.
It is. I'm going to take the Bears. I don't love it yet, but we'll see how tomorrow comes. It might be part of my best bets coming into tomorrow afternoon. We'll break that game down. All right, Pat Mahomes coming off a loss. I mean, he got abused. I don't think a lot of people thought they laid 3 in that matchup against Josh Allen. The dominance offensively, defensively of Buffalo in the interior, they could do anything they wanted from an offensive perspective. Now Kansas City has to get back up off the mat. They have 3 losses on the year. They're on the road. They have the more explosive offense going up against Washington. This Washington defense, Scott, where are they? They were supposed to be a top 10 defense. They haven't lived up to form. That secondary's been abused. They're catching 6.5 at home. Minus 114 if you're backing the Chiefs here on FanDuel. Minus 106 with the Washington football team. High total, though. 55.5 juiced to the under at minus 115. I can't back Washington in the spot. I got to believe the Chiefs are going to bounce back in a big way. I like the Chiefs minus 6.5, but I like the under in this ballgame.
A lot of ugly numbers, Joe, with Kansas City. Boy, just remarkable. One, you know, are they really going to lose and fall to 2-4? I doubt it, right? So really, it's just a matter of will they cover the spread. That loss to Buffalo last week, that's only the second time that Mahomes has lost a game by two possessions. Now, he's 44-9. He doesn't have that many losses, but, all but the two of them have been by, you know, a one-possession game. That's only the second time. The Super Bowl was only the other time. It's amazing. They're 2-13-1. And here's the other against the spread, their last 16 games. Here's the other one that's the eye-opener for me with Kansas City Mahomes. 6 interceptions this year through 5 games.
Yeah.
That's as many, Joe, as he had all of last year. In 5 games, he has just as many.
I think he's trying to do too much. That's the problem. Yeah. Obviously, Hilaire now is out for the season. They're looking to get maybe Marlon Mack from the Colts to solidify that rushing attack. You can't go through the rest of the season with Darrell Williams as your main guy. You're just not. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, he's a journeyman at best. You know, could get you some maybe a first down, 3 yards, a cloud of dust. But explosive playmaker in the running game is not going to happen. They need to add somebody else. But if you're Washington and you want to pull this game out, I think you have to pound the rock between the tackles. That's the one thing that Kansas City has failed to stop consistently. That front seven is not as dominant as a lot of people would have thought. And if they drop this game at 2-4, you really have to consider, are the Chiefs one of the teams to beat in terms of the AFC? Because we saw how Buffalo just dominated them at the point of attack.
Their defense is awful, Joe. I mean, it's awful. The AFC is really, I mean, you look at some of the better teams defensively, they stink. Kansas City couldn't stop a cold. Tennessee Titans, my goodness, they couldn't stop Topeka High. Outside of Buffalo, even Baltimore's defense is not very good. Giving up all the yards that they've given up outside of the Lions game. I mean, you know, the Browns last week, if you want to tell me they're a championship caliber team, the way that defense played, don't see it. So Pittsburgh's defense has been a major disappointment so far this year. I mean, nobody plays any defense in the AFC. 55 is a lot, but, you know, they're good for 30. Redskins have allowed 29 or more points in their last 4 games. So you got to figure KC's good for 30. Maybe 37. Is Washington going to put, 20 points on the board? That's basically what that bet is. Will Washington score 20?
And against Kansas City, probably. Yeah, the way their defense is playing, and I think they can run on them. That's the biggest thing. And I don't know if Heineke's going to be asked to do a whole lot if they're getting 4 or 5 yards per carry in terms of the heavy offensive line. They may control the point of attack and force Mahomes on the sidelines. That's going to be the way to win this game if you're Washington, right? Let's sustain drives. Let's keep it under the number. Let's keep Mahomes on the sidelines, because if you're the offense for Washington, you fall behind 10-0 at home. It's lights out with that offense.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but we're seeing the real Taylor Heineke. A nice little playoff performance against the Buccaneers, and I kind of bought into him a little bit, but it's one thing to put up numbers. It's another thing to win football games, and Washington is seemingly doing everything wrong. Gave up a Hail Mary at halftime, inexcusable last week, turned the ball over a couple times, 2 interceptions for Heineke. I don't see them beating and even covering. And then you mentioned all the things off the field with that football team. I would be really surprised if they were even competitive in that game.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Interesting matchup for both teams. 1 o'clock kick. A big battle taking place in Carolina. Carolina blew that game. We talked about it earlier. Minnesota and Zimmer. I said it this way. He loses this game, he should be fired midseason. The way this team has failed to live up to expectations this year with the type of talent that they have. Minnesota -1.5 on the road in Carolina. -110 either way. Total set at 45 and a hook. This is a team I was very high on, Carolina. Still think they're a wild card contender. But this was the team that I thought was the team to beat in the division in terms of the Minnesota Vikings. Have not lived up to expectations, but they need this road win against the Panthers and Sam Darnold.
Oh, desperately. Carolina, you cannot lose back-to-back home games to Philadelphia and Minnesota, Joe, if you want to be a playoff team. You just can't do it.
Now, when we come back, we'll be breaking this game down in deeper detail. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid, coming right back with NFL week number 6.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel ripping through NFL week number six. I'm going to bring up a couple of key bets on WynnBET, Scott, but we'll break down this game in Carolina. We left off with it. Minnesota 2-3, got a gutty win over Detroit 19-17, did not cover the 10-point number. We're in complete control of that ball game before they let the Lions come back in the fourth quarter. Now they're 1.5-point favorites against Sam Darnold and the crew. Total set at 45.5. Again, you can't lose this game. You have the veteran quarterback, Kirk Cousins. You're playing with a little bit of confidence. It is Sam Darnold. It is Matt Rhule. They overexceeded expectations at 3-0. They've sort of settled and come back down to earth now. You got to win this ball game convincingly Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, when you look at their schedule too, Joe, I mean, they were sitting pretty. I mean, they win their first three. Okay, you lose to Dallas. That's okay. That's, you know, we understand that. And you had a chance to go to 4-1, and then with the Vikings on the schedule, and then they got back-to-back road games, Giants and Falcons. I mean, you know, you're not going to win every single game, but, you know, if you're a championship team or a playoff team, you should come out of that. Now that you're 4-1 heading into the Philadelphia game, with those four games, Eagles, Vikes home, Giants, Falcons, on the road, you got to win three of those four. You just have to. So they lost the one game that, you know, you could excuse. They got to win the next three if they really want to be a playoff team. If not, they lose this week to Minnesota, then all of a sudden that the Giants and Falcons on the road is not necessarily automatic wins. It's a, you know, those teams are thinking the same thing about you as you're thinking about them, and it's a 50-50 proposition, you know. Right. So, and then it gets tougher after that. Then you got New England, you got Arizona, you know, you got Buffalo, you got Tampa Bay a couple times, you got the Saints on the road. You know, you got to make hay now if you're Carolina, if you want to be taken seriously. I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan. I know he didn't have a whole lot to work with the Jets, and he's performed better with Carolina so far, but boy, I don't know. He's to me a coach killer. He's going to be like Tua. You know, he may put up some numbers, but he's not going to win. And Daniel Jones, you know, you got all these quarterbacks, Joe, that are, they're going to put up numbers because you could put up numbers in the NFL. You know, you don't have to be very good to put up numbers the way they protect wide receivers and protect quarterbacks. But there's a difference between putting up numbers and winning games. And I don't think Darnold is that guy. I like Minnesota. I think they get the road win this week.
I do too here. And I've been a huge backer of both teams, but a huge backer of Carolina. That was a killer last week. I mean, you had Jalen Hurts and that offense. You had them dead and buried, and you couldn't put them away. And you know what I find intriguing about this ball game is both teams have star running backs that can't stay on the field. I mean, Dalvin Cook from Minnesota and Christian McCaffrey, I mean, could they play more than basically 12 games? I mean, I understand Cook did play 14 games last year, but, I mean, Madison stepped up with 112 rushing yards last week. The running game does not miss a beat for the most part when Madison is there. On the flip side, when McCaffrey's out of that offense, it has a different look. Chuba Hubbard's good. He's not elite. And in order for Sam Darnold to be effective against Minnesota, they're going to need his presence in this ballgame.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You know, this is where the Giants kind of be keeping an eye on Carolina's situation when it comes to Saquon Barkley, right? It's like, geez, you know, we haven't given him monster money yet like Carolina's done, you know. So do we want to do that? You know, do we really want to invest $15-plus million in a guy that can't stay healthy? It's too bad, McCaffrey, because he's phenomenal, right? One of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL when you consider pass-catching ability and running. But you can't keep him on the field. Then what good is he? He could be the greatest player in the world. If you can't count on him, then you know, it's all for naught.
He inches closer, whatever that means. Inches closer to a return. Okay. All right. So if you're betting money on that, that's a dead no.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of that, I want to talk about a bet on WynnBET, because WynnBET does do a fantastic job in terms of putting up futures. They have, you know, some great prop bets in terms of this. But we're talking about what I found pretty intriguing. We were talking about Kansas City in last segment. Kansas City right now is at plus +120 to win the AFC West. They have the Chargers at +110, and Denver at +800 with Las Vegas now with the Gruden situation dead last at 11-1. Would you be a buyer, KC, right here to just win the West? You're not asking them to do much. We're not talking about go to the AFC Championship game. Just win your division. They don't get this victory against Washington. I know it's not a divisional game, but where is this team in terms of a confidence level if they drop this game in D.C. this Sunday?
Yeah, if they don't win this Sunday, then forget about it. Like, I'll say this. If they don't win and the Chargers do win, then forget about it. Because if you look at the Chargers' schedule, Joe, it's not that difficult. You got a couple of toughies on there. You got Kansas City again, but you got the Giants on there. You got Houston on there. You got the Raiders again on there. You got Philadelphia on there. You got a mediocre, to me, Patriot team on there. You got Pittsburgh at home. I mean, there aren't that many, like, automatic. There isn't a game on there that I circle and say, okay, they're going to definitely lose this. I mean, they could go... how many games left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, they could go like 9-3 if you really want to buy into the Chargers. So, I don't, if I'm going to invest my money and have the books hold my money, I got to be getting more than +125. It's not worth it to me.
Let me ask you this. In terms of the NFC North, Green Bay obviously hitting on all cylinders with Aaron Rodgers, right? But if Minnesota gets this win against Carolina, not a divisional win, but it's a conference win. They're +600 to win the division. They'll be 3-3 overall. Maybe they found that our identity, the ability to win without Dalvin Cook, worth a shot at 6-1. I mean, Green Bay is basically a shoo-in right now, week number six. They're 5.5-1 at -550. -550 to win the division.
That's crazy. See, 6-1. Now you're interesting me. I'll put a couple of shekels down if I can get the return of 6-1. Difficult schedule. I'll tell you that. Dallas is on there. Baltimore on the road. Green Bay twice, which maybe work to your advantage. At San Fran, the Rams are on there. So Pittsburgh's on there. Won't be easy for them, Minnesota. But 6-1, okay. Aaron Rodgers, was he 37, 38 years old? The injury waiting to happen, maybe? If things fall the right way? That's worth a shot, yes. No way in the world would ever lay 550 on a team.
No, I would never. The highest on the board is Buffalo. Minus 1,800. You want to lay that right here, Scotty?
Wow.
You want to lay minus 1,800 right now? I have no confidence in any other team outside of Buffalo to win that division. Patriots are dead. There's no way they're going to win it. Push comes to shove. They don't even match up against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, looking through the division right now, the only other one that does intrigue me, if you do want to take a shot, is the AFC South. They have Tennessee at -450, but they have the Colts at +275 right now. Are you a buyer of Carson Wentz? Are you a buyer of this Colts team right here? They play in the Houston week number six. They get another win under their belt. Maybe they're playing with house money at +275.
Yeah, that's not too bad, Dave, because Tennessee is not they've not been impressive, and I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl, but their defense is atrocious. I mean, they even struggled a little bit last week against Jacksonville when I said no way are they going to lose back-to-back games against the Jets and Jaguars. So they're, to me, a susceptible team. I told you the Colts' schedule, pretty easy over the next 4 weeks. They can kind of turn things around, pick up the bootstraps from last week's debacle. Plus, FanDuel's got them at +270. It's not going to be Jacksonville or Houston. So, the idea also is, grab the Colts at +270 now, Joe, and then maybe Tennessee loses a couple of games or the Colts win a couple of games, and all of a sudden the Titans number comes down, and then you got to get yourself, not necessarily a middle because you can't have both teams winning, but you get yourself in a position where both teams are getting odds, or at least you can cover your Colts bet Tennessee by less than 270.
That might be a way to go. That might be a way to go right there, in terms of that. I'm also looking right now in terms of to make the playoffs, and this is pretty interesting for Indianapolis, +162 on FanDuel. Yes, Minus 198, no. Now, this number has fluctuated, obviously, with their 0-3 start. It perked up a little when they got the road win over the Dolphins. I'm just not a buyer of Carson Wentz. I'm not a buyer. I think they get the victory this week, but making the playoffs, I think, is going to be an uphill battle. I think they need more of a consistent approach in terms of the running game. They haven't shown that with Jonathan Taylor, even though he busted out over the last game.
Yeah, that would be listen, it might happen. You know, like I said, if Tennessee loses a couple of games here and then they come back to the Pack and they leave the door open, maybe. How about the Bungles at plus 245 FanDuel to make the playoffs? You ready to buy into them?
No. You know why? As much as I love Joe Burrow, when he does have a throat contusion, he's not talking. I don't know if you heard that. That's the update. He will be ready to play this weekend. But the problem that I have is Zach Taylor, and I know we talked about it, but I know he's coaching very well right now. I think that's going to unravel at some point. When push comes to shove, as the season progresses, I think Zach Taylor will come back to form. He is Matt Nagy. He's just younger. I think that's the problem. I love Joe Burrow. I love what they have around him. But when push comes to shove, I'm not a buyer of Zach Taylor in a big spot.
How about the Steelers plus 360? You know, maybe you're ready to put the dirt on top of
that. I saw that, Scott, and I was going to bring it up to you. Like, how much are you a buyer in their victory over Denver last week? Which, by the way, Denver, terrible play calling inside the red zone. Did you see that game at the end? I mean,
no.
Terrible. Teddy Bridgewater. Terrible. They were in striking distance to pull that game out. But to your point about Pittsburgh on WinBet now, +1600, 16-1 to win the division. Are you ready to
play?
Yes, that's – are you ready? Now, Mike Tomlin's done a fantastic job in terms of just playoff appearances. But now you're asking them to surpass Lamar Jackson, that is the favorite, with Baltimore in the division, minus 135. Are you buying into Big Ben Rottenberger?
Well, listen, you know, is it that crazy of a notion to have Pittsburgh beat Seattle and Geno Smith and have the Ravens lose to the Chargers, right? And if that's the case, then they'd only be one back, and you got to play Baltimore twice. I mean, so, you know, you control your own destiny. I mean, 16-1. I grabbed Cincinnati at the beginning of the year at 30-1. I mean, me and Damon, we were doing an in-game live. You know, he was kind of laughing. I said, listen, 30-1, I'll take my chances, you know. Same thing here. You want to give me Pittsburgh at 16-1? You know, you get it in a position where they're a game or two behind down the stretch. That's a nice ticket to be holding. Might not be a winner, but at least you're in the ball game.
Yeah, I think you know, right now they have an opportunity to make a little bit of a run. That's the biggest thing for Pittsburgh right now. They got the confidence back. Ben feels good until next game, and then we'll see how it plays out. The problem has been they got Najee Harris. Where is the offensive line? We knew that there were concerns in terms of the offensive line blocking. DeCastro was gone. Now, this offensive line, where are they? I mean, at some point you have to find continuity. They got it going, but that was due to them extending the lead in terms of jumping up early on Denver in that matchup. But we'll see. I think in order for Pittsburgh to make a run, they need Najee Harris. They need that rushing attack.
Yeah, I kind of turned that game off because they were in control, and then all of a sudden I turned it back on. It was like a one-score game. I was like, what happened, you know?
I know. Yeah, so. Pittsburgh, you never know. You can never feel confident with Ben Rottenberger at the helm. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up with Week 6 lines. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, Joe Lisi and my partner in crime on College Football Today, Scott Wetzel. Hour flew by. We usually wrap it up with a week one line, but a week six line, excuse me. But I'm going to give a little something different. FanDuel did put up a weekly special. Scott, most receiving yards, Sunday only, week number six. Obviously, Davante Adams is the front runner, +1,000. Tyreek Hill at +1,100. Cooper Kupp at +1,300, Travis Kelce at 14-1. McLaurin at 16-1 and Justin Jefferson at 16-1 wrap up the top six. Any love for any of those guys?
You know, I've actually done pretty well with these on the Friday night shows. I'll always kind of give some of these out. Usually it's like highest scoring team, lowest scoring team, that sort of thing. So, but we can look at the wide receiver. I'm just going on FanDuel here. I don't see you know, I know you just
ran
them all down, Joe, but I don't see the wide receivers for some goofy
reason. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, it's under weekly specials. Tyreek Hill, to me, would be the one guy because we saw Washington's defense just get abused now, and they need the win in a desperate way. We saw him break out a couple weeks ago against the Eagles secondary. This Washington defense has just been terrible right now. I mean, Justin Jefferson, I don't know if I have any love for him this weekend, even though they're playing Carolina.
Yeah, and Cooper Kupp, Rams, Giants defense, pretty good. Maybe McLaren, but they don't go to him that often where he's going to accumulate like those kind of yards. You know, Carolina's defense is pretty good, Jefferson. So 11-1 with Tyreek Hill. You just hope that they don't go to Kelsey. But they've been going to Hill more than Kelsey this year. So Tyreek at 11-1, I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, that's worth a shot, right? You throw 100 down, you have an opportunity to win 1,100. I mean, FanDuel has done a fantastic job. It's been a pleasure. Scott and I will be back next week. You can follow us on College Football Today from 9 to 12 this coming Saturday. For our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow, NFL Week 6, breaking down the complete slate.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.